Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 133 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. This week's show is going to be a little bit different because I'm going to be pulling from a conversation I had with Cody Johnson from the Thin Blue Line Outdoors here this past weekend. The full episode will come out on their channels this Wednesday. So if you don't follow them, if you don't subscribe, make sure you go over there and do that. It's the Thin Blue Line Outdoors Podcast. That's where the full episode is going to be. But today on our channel, I just wanted to pull a couple snippets from that conversation. It's kind of the origin story of Ridge Hunter Outdoors and Fall Pursuit, how we kind of got started with all that, where it is today, how we got to where we are today, and maybe a little bit moving forward. So I think it'll be a good one for you guys. If you want more background on Cody and the Thin Blue Line, you can go back 10 episodes on our podcast to number 123. He came on our show, and he talked about basically the same stuff with his company. So that was a great conversation. I always enjoy getting to talk to these guys from the Thin Blue Line. We met them at a show a little over a year ago, and we've just been friends ever since. So anytime we get to collaborate with them or just even see them and talk to them, it's always a good time. I think you guys will enjoy it. Hopefully you liked last Monday's episode as well with Eddie. I thought it was a good conversation. He's done a lot of things in the industry, especially when it comes to filming. So we got to talk about a lot of cool stuff, and we're going to be able to do the same thing with our guest coming up this next Monday. You guys are going to want to make sure you tune in for that one. So if you're not, go ahead and subscribe. If you're on YouTube, follow us on Spotify or Apple or wherever you're listening. And if you have the time, leave us a review or a thumbs up or a comment. That stuff really helps us out. It really doesn't take much time or effort. It doesn't cost you a dime. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate it. If you want to know who the guest is going to be on next Monday, go over to our Facebook group, Ridge Hunter Nation, and I will post that in there later today. And then you guys can ask them questions if you want. You'll be able to see who's coming up. That's kind of what we do inside of that group when I can. So with all that said, let's get into episode number 133. This is from the Thin Blue Line Outdoors Podcast, the episode that's going to come out Wednesday. So make sure you go check out the full conversation there when it comes out. But let's get into it. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast.
Anyway, we'll get back on track here. Yeah. So what's a little bit of your personal background? Like, why did you want to start the consulting and podcast business?
Okay, so to get the full story, I mentioned the COVID stuff, right? So I actually went to school in St. Louis for sports business, right? And
okay,
that's what I kind of wanted to get into afterward because, like, I love sports as much as I do the outdoors. And I graduated from there in 2019, and I was working for a newspaper at the time, covering sports, a sports reporter. Okay. I had worked for part of that company while I was going through school, and a full-time position opened up at another location of theirs. So I took that, and then it was, I guess, fall of 19, I had applied for a position with the St. Louis Blues, and went and interviewed for that, got the job. I turned in my 2 weeks at the paper, and I went for my first day, like, orientation with the Blues. It was like, I don't know, the early March of 2020. Literally 3 days later. Like, that's not an exaggeration. 3 days later, the whole world shuts down. Like, the baseball spring training games, they stopped them and everybody went home. Like, they sent everybody home from work. 2 weeks to flatten the curve or whatever, right?
Yep.
That's when that happened, 3 days after my orientation. So I go home and I got no job. We had bought a house in St. Peter's, Missouri, which is just outside of St. Louis, and that fell through because I didn't have a job now.
Yep.
And I mean, I did for a while, so I was technically still with them, but I wasn't getting paid. I got paid one check for like 2 hours because I went in for my orientation, right? So all that was going on. Didn't know if I was going to be able to go back to work for them or not. I kind of waited around for a few months there, and like everybody else, didn't do much of anything. Till early July, I had already had this Ridge Hunter thing going with the scents, so I was doing the buck and doe tarsal sprays, and it was doing pretty well. I was just selling it at the shop here at Dad's shop, and hadn't really pushed it out or anything. But I finally built a website for it. It was RidgeHunterScents.com, I think, was the original site. And then, so that was kind of going, and I was selling some stuff, and I thought, maybe I should pursue this and just see where it goes. So that's the namesake really started there, and I was looking for other ways to kind of build out what we were doing. And I was like, you know, I enjoy doing food plots. I enjoy managing deer, managing properties. It seems like I could probably help other people with that. The experience that I had had, even at that time, you know, having done it for as young as I was, having done it for almost 10 years, like managing properties and stuff, just from hunting for so long, along with a couple other guys that were helping me, their experience and all of that, I thought that we could offer some people some value there. Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market, and I'm really excited to use it this season and for years to come. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. So I opened up the website to that as well. I built on the consulting part, the management part. The first management job we got was the guy's road was the border between Missouri and Oklahoma. So that was like the first job we got doing food plots for this guy. He had some clover plots. The guy that was working for him came in, killed him, and planted a fescue everywhere. So we fought that for that guy for like a year and a half, got his clover plots going. And that was our first gig. And we did, like I did consultations, and we still do those out of state. Like I'm fine with that, but because it's not that bad. You go drive out, you spend a day with the guy, and then you drive back. It's not like you got to keep going back and forth. Like with the management stuff, hauling a trailer out there, equipment, and you got to go multiple times a year. But I was going to all the way out there to the west edge of Missouri. I went into Kansas a couple of times, down in eastern Kentucky, southern Kentucky, like 5 miles from the Tennessee border, just like getting my name out there and getting started, like what you do at the beginning, right? No.
100%. You got to hustle.
Exactly. So did that, and then as we started to do that, we built up, again, kind of our name, built a company up, started getting some consultations. And every time we'd go on these consults, like the guys would always have very similar questions. Like it was because they're usually it's similar people. They own land. Maybe they're new landowners or they've been doing it a while and they're not seeing what they think they should, that kind of stuff. Those are the kind of guys that want consultations, right? They're just looking for help because they've exhausted all resources. They've looked on the internet and a lot of times those guys all had the same questions or they were doing the same things. It was like, well, obviously these guys are getting their information from somewhere before they come to us, and it's not great. So, like, why don't we kind of get ahead of this a little bit and give people a place to go and get good information? And not that there weren't those out there anyway, but, like, what's another place going to hurt, right? Yeah. So that's when we started the podcast, which would have been 3 years ago next month. I believe we started that solely with the idea of putting out good information around property management, hunting strategy, and things like that. Because a lot of times you think consultation on private property, you think, well, you're just telling them how to do food plots and stuff like that. I would say over 50% of it is just teaching the guys how to hunt, you know, like how to use your wind, use your entry and exit, how to set things up to make it easier to hunt. Teaching them about thermals and hunting mornings and how to go in and out in the evenings versus mornings, things like that, right? So there was a lot of that in it too. And then, I don't know, we were 16 or 17 episodes in. Me and Nate actually started it. We were 16 or 17 episodes in, something like that, close to 20. We brought on a guy named Steve Shirk who wrote for North American Whitetail, still does. He's a great dude. We've had him on like four or five times now.
Yeah, he's got a
Guide service. Outfitter business, right? In Pennsylvania.
Yep, I've listened to him on,
on public ground. Podcasts,
Yep.
He's a super smart dude, super articulate. And what we were doing at the beginning And I stole the idea. Like, I'm a huge podcast nerd, so I listen to a ton of podcasts.
But I'm with you on that.
One of my favorites is the Jocko podcast. And
Okay,
if you're familiar with it, he reads the book, but he takes sections out of it, and then they talk about it. He brings the author in to talk to them about the book, right? So I kind of stole the first part of that. And I also felt like if we're reading out a North American Whiteteller Bowhunter, it adds a little more credibility even if people don't know us. If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors. Email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. So I would like pull an article from the latest version, and that would be the basis for our discussion for that podcast. Yeah. So we did one by Steve. I tagged him on social media. He hit me up and he was like, "Hey man, I really enjoyed the podcast listening to you guys cover my article." I was like, "Cool." Like, would you ever be interested in coming on? And then he was real cool. He said, "Yeah, we'll do it." And we called him. And he was our first guest, which we were nobody. We're still not, you know, anything special. But at that time, we were really nobody. And he was nice enough to give us the time of day to come on. Because you know how it is. Some people just won't even give you the time of day. And other people will string you along. But he followed up. He did what he said he was going to do. I don't remember if it was that time or another time. He did have to reschedule once for something. But the rescheduled date, he was on time, and he told us in plenty of time the first time. Anyway, he was a great guest, and I really enjoyed doing that, which I don't know if I thought that's where I wanted it to go anyway, away from what we started with, but that's kind of where it ended up. We had him on, and then, you know, we had several guys. We spaced them out at the beginning, like here, there, and yonder of different guests we had. One of the next ones we had was Forrest Bonin from Drury Outdoors. He's Terry's farm manager. He was awesome.
Yep.
And then we kind of hit a string there where we just guest after guest after guest. And that's kind of what it evolved into, was just more of a regular podcast of just talking to guys about hunting. And it's even evolved from that to where now there's so much strategy out there and so much places for people to get that. I still do a shorter episode on Fridays. That's why I started that one, because I wanted to keep some aspect of that and still give people a good place to go to. But it's very saturated with that kind of stuff. So I do 15 to 30 minutes on it a week. If people want that, they can go get it. If they don't, they don't listen to it, whatever. But the Monday episodes have kind of even evolved more into, and you know you were on one. I want to give people a place to go and, like, meet Cody Johnson or meet Forrest Bonin, you know, and, like, get their kind of their backstory, what got them into hunting and who they are as a person, more than just how they think you should hunt a scrape, you know, because there's so much of that out there. I mean, you can look up, take whoever you want, your personality, whatever personality, for example, and you can find tons of podcasts. And every time they go on, everybody wants to talk about their strategy or whatever, which is great. I mean, they know a lot of stuff. Those guys do. They're in the position they are for a reason. So that's good. But there's not that many places where you can, like, get a guy's backstory and actually get to know him. So it's kind of even evolved into that, I think, and that's kind of more what I'm even shooting for now. Like, instead of just having the conversation about hunting with those guys, I like doing that. So that's kind of where the podcast has evolved into anyway. If you guys plant food plots and you don't know who Grandpa Ray Outdoors is, you need to look him up. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for white-tailed deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods with over 14 different food plot blends to choose from. You won't have any trouble finding what you're looking for. They've got fall and spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits, you name it. When it comes to planting, they've got it. They're not just about selling their products, though. They were started in 2015. John, the owner, has been in the business since 1991. So with that knowledge that he's acquired, he's going to be able to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. Like us, John and his team don't believe in a cookie-cutter approach to wildlife nutrition. They're going to treat you and your situation individually. We've used tons of their seed on client properties, on our own properties, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. That's why we partnered with them in the first place. If you want to, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com, use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your entire order there. You guys need to go check them out if you care about getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to your food plots.
Gotcha. So we'll go right into your fall pursuit series, because last year was your guys' first year really pushing that out. And I will say this, I thought you guys did a really great job. I know how hard it is to edit other people's videos. It's one thing when you film it yourself,
right?
And you know what you have out there. That's one thing. But when you just have team members just handing you footage,
yes,
I know the difficulty behind that. Mm-hmm. So I want to say I thought you did a great job editing and everything. But yeah, if you just want to kind of talk about the reason you guys started Fall Pursuit and just how it all went last year.
Mm-hmm. When me and Nate started the podcast, I was like, hey, because I'd known Nate pretty well. Gosh, I had known Nate for like 15 years, but not real well. We went to the same high school, but he was 5 years ahead of me, so I wasn't in school with him. Always around him, though, because we're kind of both hunting, both same community, right? We went to church together, so I did know him. And we had talked quite a bit about hunting. I would say in the years leading up to, as I graduated high school, the years leading up to starting this, like, and after I graduated college, I got to know Nate pretty well. And when I was thinking about who I would want to start the podcast with, he was the first one that came to mind. Because as laid back and as down-home country boy as Nate is, he really does know his stuff, and he can articulate it most of the time, right? So he knows way more about it than I do, and I appreciate him helping me on it. And he was the one I went to. And when we started that, because he had come from a little bit of background, too, of filming and stuff, right? He had been with a couple groups before.
Yeah, tell me this.
Yep, so he had been with a couple groups before. And I was like, hey, man, I just want to do the podcast. I really doubt, like, I'd ever want to do a show or anything like that. Like, I always had that dream growing up of having a show. But I told him, I was like, I want to do the podcast. I don't think we'll ever do, like, a show or anything like that. And then I think the following year I started doing, like, a little vlog on throughout the season on YouTube. It was just everything was filmed with my phone, basically. And I started doing that, and I asked Nate if he would want to do that too. And I was like, I still don't, like, we probably will never do like a full scale show. It just seems like a lot of work. I don't want it to ever be, you know, too much. I still want this to be fun, but would you be interested in taking some video and doing a vlog? So he did one that year. Like, he got video from one of his hunts, and that was a whole learning experience too. But that parlayed into the next year, and I was like, man, why don't we just do this? Like, we're kind of inching that way anyway. So let's let's invest in some decent equipment and let's try to see what we can do. Cause Nate's always seems like he's got really good deer. Blake, who we brought on after that, that Nate had known. I really didn't know Blake much at all, other than he was on a neighboring department. And again, he's probably 15 miles away. So kind of like proximal to him, knew him a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't know him that well. Nate did, though. They basically grew up together. And I was like, you think he'd be in on it and he would be good? He said, oh, yeah, he'll be great. So we brought Blake on, and we had the whole crew there kind of put together for the first season of guys that I felt like knew what they were doing and had good deer to get on. So I thought it was going to had the potential to do really well. And, man, we just kind of fumbled our way through the first year with a little bit of, like, Nate's experience from back in the day. I had a little bit of experience filming, nothing to the scale we're doing now for by any means, nothing close to the scale Nate was doing. But I thought it would be a lot of fun and just another way to kind of, it's not like it's incredibly informative or educational or anything like that, but the show, I do feel like we try to tell people why we're set up where we are, and we do add that element a little bit, but more just pure entertainment, because I saw the reception that the podcast had when we got more to that side of it, like, with the Monday episodes and the guests was just more entertaining as much as it was education. And I thought that'd be something worth trying. And the other thing is I saw other guys doing it and I thought we could do at least that good. Right.
I thought you guys did good.
And there were guys on the bottom end. Right. And I was like, I see these guys and they have a decent following and I'm like, that's not great stuff. Like the video quality is not good. The editing's not good. The content's not great, but they have a decent following. And then like at this end of the spectrum, the other end is like Heartland Bowhunter. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, if we could fall somewhere closer to the Heartland Bowhunter side than this side, or at least in the middle, right? I'd be happy with that. And I feel like we probably landed somewhere in the middle, so.
I would agree.
I was happy with it. We're really looking forward to this year.